Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
love you forever.
Hallelujah.
I love you forever.
One more time, people of God, say, oh.
No.
Gonna love you forever.
Forever.
You want to just lift your hands and make this vow like I say, gonna love you forever. Yes, I will.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Gonna love you forever. Hallelujah. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and wonderful children of God. Thank you for being here. So happy you were able to join us today.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to read a scripture because of that song made me think about Isaiah 26:4. It says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So I'm going to love him forever. When things are going bad, I'm still going to love him. When things are going good, still got to love him. When I'm down, I got to love him. It's forever. There's no break in there. It's forever. When folks like me, I'm going to love him. When folks don't like me, I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him forever. I ain't planning on going nowhere. I want my love to stay with him. How do I know I'm going to love him forever? Because if you love the word, you're loving God. Welcome to the Word at Noon. So happy, like I said, to have each and every one of you all. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill. He should get us going with a word of prayer. And we're going to get into these scriptures today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. And the scripture. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, giving you thanks, Father God, knowing that you will love us forever, Father God. And we are to love others forever. So, Father God, we just praying that you will open up our hearts and our minds, Father God, to receive your word, Father God. We ask that you will bless our pastor right now in the name of Jesus. Bind up anything and everything to try to come up against him, Father God. Use him mightily, Father God, as he teaches the word. And then, Lord, help us to receive the word, Father God. And, Lord, we're praying for those that ask us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God. Touch each and every one. They will have a testimony for you, Father God. We're thankful, Father God, for those who are listening by internet and those who have called in and those who are going to participate, Father God. Bless, Father God. They're going out and they're coming in, Father God. Lord, we ask you will be with those who are going through. We know you're a way maker out of no way, Father God. And there is nothing impossible for you, Father God. Be with the bereaved family, Lord. Touch their hearts. Give them a peace of mind. And be with those that are sick and shut in, those that are claiming their healing, Father God, for you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, just help us to stand on the word of God, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, Father God, no matter what people try to bring to us to try to turn us around or hinder us from being close to you, Father God. We bind that up in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, bless us all that we will be your disciples to do your will. And, Lord, have your way. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we've been talking about what the word declare us to be as ministers of this covenant that's called reconciliation. That's our ministry. That's what we're to do. We're to be that way. And God made it possible he fulfilled his prophecy over in Ephesians 2 and 10. We won't go there right now. But let me say this. Yesterday we made mention over in, what was that, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, for as much as ye are manifest, declared to be the epistles of Christ, the written word, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of our heart. So God made this possible, all predicated on his promise over there in Ezekiel 36. And you know what? I think I'm going to take it to the 24th verse. I'm going to ask Pastor Shea read it out of the Messenger Bible. And I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. Continue to lift up Evangelist William. She's going to be listening in today. She's handling some business, making arrangements or something. But however, we lifting her up in the name of Jesus. But over in Ezekiel 36, and I'm going to start with the 24th verse. I tell you, boy, I'm excited, man. I'm excited because God fulfilled his promise in us so we could become ministers of reconciliation. In all sense of the meaning, we can do that now. We can be that because he prophesied. Over in Ezekiel 36, whoo, somebody got to calm down, boy. I just get excited, man, when I see this word come alive. In Ezekiel 36, and I'm going to start with the 24th verse, and I read through the 27th. So 24 through 27. It reads as follows. For I will take you among the heathens and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land, the spiritual land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, which is the word, and ye shall be clean for all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. Idols. Whew, I just love that. When I cleanse you, I'm clean from all that mess. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Shall keep them and do them. Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God. From the Message Bible, for here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of these countries, gather you from all over, and bring you back to your own land. I'll pour pure water over you and scrub you clean. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that God willed, not self-will. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my command. Amen.
And see, and Paul saw that. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore. See, because we're not dealing with the flesh anymore. Therefore. Working back up to 16, too, because it says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, even though we have known Christ, know him no more henceforth after the flesh. No more. And the 17th verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, that's what God prophesied, that he was going to give us a new heart, a new spirit. It fulfilled right here. Right here. It's being fulfilled. When you become a new creature, bless God. Something brand new. Never exists. He said, to wit, well, let me go to the 18th verse, too, because it says, and all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, that's God's stuff, man. God did this. He prophesied in Ezekiel, turned around and made it happen in, Second Corinthians 5:17. So, because that's when he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So, therefore, based on that stuff right there, you go back and you read Colossians 3. Well, I tell you yesterday, it was Colossians 3:3. We'll go there and read that. So I want you to see the whole picture. I'm trying to paint your picture here. And then he says in, what was that, in 2 Corinthians 3, let me go to 2 Corinthians 3. Bless God. Y'all stay with me. For as much as ye are manifest, declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not in ink, but with the spirit of a living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of heart. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. And what verse was that again, Pastor?
That was 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Pastor, thank you.
You're welcome.
Reading from the Message Bible. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human life, and we published it. Amen.
So you see how that all came together? You know how that happened? Mm-hmm. By being in the Word and the Word in us. Living by the Word,
yeah.
Being born of the Word, being your spirit being recreated by the Word, so we can be just like Christ, because that's what Christ was. He is. It's the Word made flesh. So that's us becoming a living epistle, a living Word. Because guess what? What's going to come out of your mouth, bless God, huh? The Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God in us. You have to see it like that. That's what makes us, to me it's real clear that we are not going to be like some people teach, well, when we get over there, we're going to be like, no, you're going to be like Christ over here. You're going to be just like mm-hmm. the Word over here. So when you do an extensive study in Colossians 3, let's see, 12 through 25. We may not make that whole journey today, but at least we can open it up. And I'm going to ask Pastor to get ready to read Galatians 2 and 20 in a moment. But I want you all to see that, just Galatians 2 and 20. But I want you all to see this real clearly. That we are the Word of God in us. That's what we are. That's what we is. I don't know the right English and all that good stuff. But if you are, you is. And if you is, you are. So we are a living epistle. That's what we are. Now, however your English teacher told you to pronounce it, that's fine. But at the end of the day, that's what you is. That's what we used to say down in the country. And in the city, we say, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are that. We are that, okay? We are a living epistle. That's why we can minister. That's why he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. How did he do that, you ask? Because he gave us the word of reconciliation, which is his word. Woo, preach. I'm trying to do the best I can.
Amen.
But in Colossians 3:25, well, like I said, maybe we'll read from 3:12 through 20:17 first. Just let's read that. Let me see, can I find that? Colossians 3, and I'm going to start with the 12th verse. We read that first. The 12th verse. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. I know you can do that. I know you can do that. You can forgive them that have stolen from you. Yeah, I just have to say this. You can give them for what I did wrong. You see, I had that done to me, so I had to forgive these people. I wanted to live by the word of God. So when God showed me this, I became convicted. So God said, go on and forgive them. Ain't going to cost you nothing. You forgive them. So if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you got to, in other words, you got to do the same thing, okay? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bound of perfectness. You're talking about God's kind of love, not mankind, not the kind you find in the book, but the kind you find in the Bible, to love like him. Okay, and let the peace of God rule your heart, and the which also ye are called in one body, and ye be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you shall do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen. Amen. How far did you read, Pastor?
To the 17th verse.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. So from the Message Bible, beginning with verse 12, the person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule-keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule-keeping, continue to live by them. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating curse of life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says Christ is everyone? I'm sorry. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. Now, because of that, the air is clear and we can see that Abraham's blessing is sent and available for non-Jews too. We are able to receive God's life, his spirit, in and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it. Friends, let me give you an example from everyday affairs of the free life I am talking about. Once a person will has been ratified. No one else can annul it or add to it. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendants that scripture, in the careful language of a legal document, does not say to descendants, referring to everybody in general, but to your descendants, referring to Christ. This is the way I interpret this. Amen.
Amen. So think about it, brothers and sisters. Think about these words. Clearly are an epistle. Now, that's what the word said you are. He said you are epistle of Christ. What is an ideal position that now just know that you are the sons of God. You just like Christ.
Yes.
Because of the word in you makes you an epistle. You live in that word.
Yes.
You just happen to be a living word now. You are just like God. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was God. You become a living word because what's going to come out of your mouth is going to be what the word of God says. See? So,
amen.
I mean, I just think it's a great position that we know that we are sons of God and are being manifest daily. Because when people hear you, they're hearing scripture. So actually, it's the glory is being seen. It's God's glory in the spirit now. Now the word of God is becoming an expressed purpose. For instance, it's showing us that our purpose in the life of Christ, that we're no longer living our life, but when that word come out, we know that we're living in Christ, man. That's Christ coming out.
Yeah.
So that's what Paul was saying. And it's evidence in his life. So when he came to the climax of saying over there in Galatians 2:20, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So how can Christ live in you? There is no way for Christ to live in you except by the manifestation of the word in you, declaring every day that you are a living epistle or the living word of God, because all of us have had our past. All of us have had our past conversation. All of us have had our past life. But now that we're new creatures, we're doing new things now. We're not doing the same thing. You know, just like in sports. You know, you may have a few people that's still there from carried over from last year. But when you got a new team, brothers and sisters, you're doing new stuff now. You're running new plays. The old stuff has passed away. We're new creatures. I'm going to let Pastor read that out of the Messenger Bible. But I want you to know, we're new creatures, man. We're doing new stuff now. It may look like the same, but it's not. And it may look like to some people that we're running the same place, but we're not. We even have a new energy, a new purpose, new goals. But we're new. We're really new. So, and this is how this happened. Because we crucified ourselves with Christ. So it's no longer us who's living, but Christ is living in me. That's what Paul said. And now, see, he was still Paul on the outside, but on the inside, he was this new creation. Hadn't been determined what he was, but he knew it was new. Read that for us, Pastor. Galatians 2:20.
A reading from the Message Bible. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. it is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God. Amen.
Yeah. It is the living Christ. It is the driven likeness of God in us, which is that word. It is the express image of him. The word is the only factor that works out and brings forth in you, in me, these glorious identification between you and Christ. And it is the word that dwell in us richly. That's why I like Colossians 3:16. Man, just let it have its way in you. Just let it go crazy in you. Because people are going to hear it, and they're going to say, you know what? That's different.
Yeah.
But what the enemy say, they're going to be able to hear that word coming alive in us. So when we are representing Christ, we're ministers of a new creation. We're ministers of what that word called, reconciliation. We're telling people, hey, God ain't mad with us. Man, God loves us. He given everything for us. He wants you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the ministry of reconciliation. See, we may begin at Genesis and go right through all the scripture and be able to recite them. But unless there are a living power within us, they will be dead letters. Everything that comes to us must be quickened, must be made alive by the Spirit. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. See, the word of God will give life to that thing. Even if it's healing, if it's deliverance, whatever it is, you put that word on there and that word becoming the overwhelming desire that's in your heart, that's what's coming out. Because whatever's really in you, that's what's coming out of you. But you got to get it in you. Put it in you. See? Put it in you. And that's what's coming out. Okay. That's why we got to put on this stuff. The Bible said we got to put it on, man. When you put on kindness, when you put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you. Then I like the fact that he says, and above all things. Now I know I told you a lot of stuff. I unpacked a lot of stuff. But above all that stuff, put on the God kind of love. And I should go right there. Because, see, once you do that, you got to love people just the way they are. I don't care if they're black, white, purple, indifferent, short, tall, lesbian, or a homosexual. You can love them. And try to love the ill right out of them. Whatever's in it, try to love that thing out of them. To the point that say, you know what? I want some of that stuff you got. I don't know what made you love me like this, but I need some of that stuff.
You want
them to need that like a fish need water. You want them to need what's in you like a light bulb needs electricity. You need that. You need folks to love you and be like you, just like a motor need gas. You need that. You need that. See?
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is you go ahead on and put it on as the elect of God. Isn't that awesome? Man, you can put on as the elect of God. That is just like so awesome, man. But, Pastor, you did read that out the Messenger Bible, right?
No, I did not, Pastor. I can. That was Colossians 3:16.
No, it was Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I thought we went.
Oh, 12 through 17. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Reading from the Message Bible. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive and offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with none of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Let the message have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your life. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Amen. Praise God.
That's awesome, brothers and sisters. That's what God wants us to do. Why? Why you want to do that, Lord? Because we've been chosen. We are the elect. We were chosen for this. This is our job.
Yeah.
We were chosen for this office, for this position.
Thank you.
We were chosen to be one with him. The Bible says that we are the elect. We're special. Don't you live beneath what God has called you. Stop living.
Amen.
Stop cheating yourself.
Amen.
Stop cheating yourself. Well, it don't look like I got this on. Don't look like I... God said you got it on. So since you can't see it, he's seeing it for you. He's telling you. All you got to do is put it on. Start acting like that. And you'll
Amen.
See that you will be accepted. You'll see that you are different. Embrace that. Embrace because
Amen.
You've been selected, man. Been nominated for this stuff. Chosen. Everybody can't say, I've crucified the flesh. But I tell you what, when you have put on as the elect of God, as chosen people of God, as chosen believers, you done put on holy and beloved bowels of mercy. But I'm not going to try to unpack all that today, because when I think about bowels, I have to call Evangelist Sharon, because I forget how many in your bowels. It's a whole lot of bowels. So when the Bible talk about bowels, it's just talking about like how many intestines you got. It's a long, you know how many that is, Pastor?
I do not, Pastor.
It's a lot of them.
It's
a lot. It's a lot. When you talk about bowels, I mean, they go round and around and around and around and around and around. So put on all of that. Bowels of mercy. Keep on having mercy. Well, you know, I forgave. That's okay. Forgive them again. I tried to do it. That's okay. Do it again. You got bowels of mercy. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. Yes, I do, because I'm doing the same thing. I understand. I'm having bowels of mercy. There's people slapped me. I had to turn the other cheek. There's people did thing to me. God said, I said, forgive them 7 times 70. So they got me. Every time they say forgive me, I don't even have a choice of the matter. Well, Pastor, you want to be taken advantage of? I'm not being taken advantage of. God got angels, man. You don't want to mess with God now. When somebody doing God's will, oh, baby, you don't want to mess with God, folks. They may think they're taking advantage of you. They may not know that you know that they're taking advantage. They may not know all that stuff. But, hey, God got your back. So you play your role. Your role, and then let God play his role. See, we're acting like the elect of God. So long as we keep acting like the elect of God, them think what they want to think. Because, see, deep down on the inside, we really know what's going on. They don't know that we done put on God. We done put on charity. They don't know we done put that thing on us. They don't know what we dressed up in.
Amen.
They don't know. They can't see it. And don't expect for them to see. They're not spiritual enough. But people that's spiritual or people who's looking for salvation or people who's looking for the things of God, they're going to see it. It ain't going to be no, they're going to say, oh, yeah, it's something different about that person. I mean, they may see some other imperfections. They may see some other stuff. But at the end of the day, they're going to see the God in you. They're going to see that grace on you. They're going to see that you undressed it up. Mm-hmm. And then it ain't always, you know, because they'll look at you one way and see, and they could be looking out after you have the carnal eyes or carnal mind, but God going to whip that thing around so they can see you out the spirit. Yeah, I know he'll do it. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. I've had people actually say to me, you know what? Man, I thought you was a cool dude, but, man, you're a real preacher. I was laughing. I go like, okay, amen. What you mean? Yeah. Man, you're a real preacher. I said, yeah, sure is. Had a guy to stop me the other day. He wanted me to give him my number. I gave him my number. He wanted to know, have you ever heard of this preacher? I said, man, all I hear is the word of God. I don't hear that other stuff. Can I have your number so we can have this kind of conversation? I said, of course. I gave him my number. I was at the phone place. I was at Verizon Wireless changing, trying to get a phone. Oh, I got one, but I'm just saying that God let that conversation come up. See, that's how you do it for us.
All right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anybody else like to have a comment? Anything you want to go over that I might have missed? Something you want to share? Hallelujah. Awesome.
Well, Pastor, I was looking that up about the bowels, and I'm sure that Evangelist Sharon would probably have more to this, but Google says the bowel is part of the digestive system. It is made up of a small bowel, small intestine, and the large bowel, which is the colon and the rectum. It says the small bowel is longer than the large bowel, but it gets its name from the fact it is much narrower than the larger bowel. So we have to give Evangelist Sharon to break it down. But that's what I thought I had looked up.
Oh, yeah, I get it. She, when I talk about bowels of mercy, believe me, that comes, that word right there really comes to mind that bowels are, like you said, we'll give y'all I talked to her between 9 over the weekend. She'll give me about how long they are. I just know it's a lot of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just believe it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of mercy we should have. The bottom line to what I'm saying is that's just the kind of mercy that we should have. Bowser. And God expect for us to use that as such, you know. So that's the point I was making.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then it used to I want to say, I did probably need to go back and see that scripture, but if I'm understanding English right, it's in the medical term knowledge, it uses S. And that really made it long. Really made it more of it.
Right. Praise God.
Big difference.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Yes, I'd like to read that out of the New Living Translation.
Yeah, please.
Colossians 3. All right. Beginning with the 12th verse. Excuse me. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And I didn't tell you how, well, I'm not going to get into it today, but when we get into it, we maybe through the review or whatever, we'll get into it. The colon system is important. Her pastor brought up that word colon, and I thought about how important that is and how it needs to be cleansed. But when you're talking about bowels and what all it represent and stand for and bowels of it and the different names for it, and one part of it was the colon. Man, all I could think about is what all your bowels do. They have mercy. Mm-hmm. Something just went all over me when I thought about that. But thank you for reading that, Pastor. And it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that that God expects us to operate by putting, therefore, as the elect of God does, holy, beloved. So got to put on a lot of holiness and bowels of mercy, kindness. And I'm going to have to look at this again because of the way it reads. Like, we're supposed to put on bowels of mercy, bowels of kindness, bowels of harmony, humbleness of mind, bowels of meekness, bowels of long-suffering. See, I'm kind of seeing that like that, too. So I'm going to have to do my research and get back with y'all. Because, you know, usually when they put them little comma in there, it's trying to tell you the same thing over, talking about the same thing. So I have to look at that again. But God wants us to put a lot of this on, man. A lot of kindness, a lot of meekness, a lot of long-suffering, a lot of humbleness, mm-hmm. not just humbleness, but a lot of bowels of it. Is that making sense, Pastor?
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Yes, it is, Pastor.
And when you've done all of that, he said, here, above all of these now, he said, put on charity. And why he says that, because that's the basic, that's where you start at, with the love of God. Just like he loved us, you got to love other people. Hallelujah. Okay, anybody else?
Hallelujah.
I'm excited. I'm excited now. Got to go back and study a little bit more. Got to go back and study a little bit more. Anybody else?
Amen.
Well,
in that 10th verse of Colossians 3, in the Message Bible, it says, now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. So that's good to know, you know, with our new life and all this that from that 12th to the 17th, that's our new clothing. That's new. We're new in that, which you also spoke about being new in Christ now.
Oh, yeah. And you just don't get no one piece of garment.
Mm-mm.
When you get new garments, especially if you got money like some of y'all got, ain't finna call out nobody. But when you got a bunch of money, you go buy a new wardrobe, if I'm understanding it right. So, well, give me three of them, and I mean, you just buy a whole lot of stuff. You get a lot of it, bow. And if you can afford, mm-hmm. if you're rich, you can afford bowels of it, you know. Lot of it.
Yeah.
Lot of kindness.
A lot of
mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah. See, that's what we're putting on Amen. Now. We ain't got just one outfit.
Amen.
I dare you to get a lot of money and see if you go buy one outfit. No. That ain't the way that works.
Mm.
No.
Amen.
When you put no outfits, baby, you dress it from top to bottom. How I know
Amen.
That? I've seen it and I've done it. Yeah, I mean, I put on new outfit and I put on new shoes, new hat. I'd be about like most women. But some of these women mm-hmm. now, when they put on new outfit, especially if they want to bling, they put it all on and they don't put the same thing on with the next outfit. Preach, I'm trying to do the best thing. They don't put on the same
Amen.
Thing they had on last night with this new outfit they put on today, and they ain't going to put on the same thing with that outfit tomorrow. They ain't going to do it.
Amen.
Now, when they got money, they ain't going to do it. Different outfit.
That's right.
Oh, I know I'm right
mm-hmm.
now. But I'm going to leave it
right.
there.
Amen.
And now we'll talk to y'all. Have a great weekend. We'll see y'all Sunday for the Word at Noon.